How many know there's a lot of things that we can do? Right? I mean, you could, you know what? Tonight, you could have went bowling tonight, right? Go bowling. Go miniature golfing. You could have gone to Tommy's or Denny's. Could have gone home and watched TV. Amen? Could have gone golfing. You know what? Bought a bucket of balls and hit a bucket of balls. You do all kinds of stuff. How many know we do all kinds of stuff? But as we're doing things, there are things that you do and they help and they're good for your life. And then there's other things that you do and you're like, well, there's nothing wrong with that. And there might not be really anything wrong to it per se, but it's just kind of, there is something wrong in that. It's a waste of time. Do I have any amens on that? And it's just like, you know, well, you ever, I don't watch a lot of TV, but way back in the day, I remember sometimes coming home from work and just doing the flipping the channel, you know what I mean? And I'm looking for something good. And I'm watching 5 minutes of this and 5 minutes of that, 5 minutes of this. And you know what? An hour goes by and I didn't watch nothing but 5 minutes of stuff. Hello? It's just really just a waste of time. I just wasted, you know what, time. Well, there's a lot of things that we can do that will help us spiritually. And we really need to be most focused on our spiritual health. I mean, there's a lot of things that you need to be mindful of. But the most important thing that you need to be mindful of is your spiritual health. And let me tell you why. Because if you're spiritually healthy, that's going to help every area in your life now. If you're spiritually healthy, it's going to help you in every area in your life now. Amen. Yeah, y'all awake today, right? Are y'all ready to hear the word of God? Thank you. If you're spiritually healthy, it's going to help you in every area of your life. And so it's really important that would be the major focus of what you're, keeping your eyes on. You know, what is your spiritual health? And in your spiritual health, how many know there's a lot of ways that you can get spiritually healthy? Let's talk about a couple of them real quick. Here's a good one. Come to church. So, Pastor, I am in church. I know. I know. But keep on coming to church. And be faithful to come to church. You know the reality is, I don't know if you know this, but they've studied this out, and they have found that if they have couples, statistically, they've worked this out, that if the couple will come once a month to church, they will be more likely or less likely to get a divorce than the couple who doesn't come to church. Amen? Now watch this. Guess what? If you have a couple who's coming, so you got a couple over here, they're coming once a month, and you got a couple over here that's coming twice a month, guess who has a higher chance to get a divorce? The people who come in once a month. You got the people coming twice a month over here, and you got the people right here, and they're coming every week. Guess who's less likely to get a divorce? The people coming every week or the people coming every other week? Right there, man, the people coming every week. Now watch this. You got the people coming every week on Sunday, and then you got this couple over here, and they're coming every Sunday and every Wednesday. Take a wild guess. Take a wild guess. See, and here's why. Because, you know what? As your spirituality goes, so your life goes. And people just casually, you know what? We have in our society, we have just kind of forgot the value. You know, when I was growing up, hi, Dad. When I was growing up, we went to church, you know what? Sunday and Wednesday, we went to Sunday school in the morning, and we had night church. Amen? We had VBS. I mean, you know what? We'd just go to church all the time. And listen, that wasn't a bad thing for my spiritual development. That was a good thing. So let me encourage you, and I'm glad you're here tonight, but let me encourage you. Make a decision that you're going to come Sunday and Wednesday. Sunday when? And Wednesday. And we say at this church, listen, we don't meet on Sunday. What are you talking about, Pastor? No, we don't meet on Sunday. We meet on Sunday and Wednesday. Meet on Sunday and Wednesday. But let me just encourage you, and this isn't a legalistic thing. I don't want anybody to feel condemnation. I just want you to feel encouraged. That you, and I'm telling you what, if you'll do it, you know what, I like to say this, give us 1 year and see if you will commit to Sunday and Wednesday. You come here Sunday and Wednesday for 1 year, and I guarantee you, your life will be radically changed in a radical way. Amen. Who can testify? Can I have, we get a little Pentecostal here. Can I have a witness? Amen. 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 So I want to encourage you. That's really important. What about this? What about fellowship? Listen, and to hang out together, you know what, is a good thing. So I don't know. What are we eating tonight? Does anybody know what we're eating tonight? There you go. Come on. We got some quesadillas. Amen. Zucchini chocolate cake. How do you, you put zucchini in chocolate cake? Amen. I don't know about that, but I'm going to try some tonight. Amen. Here's all I'm saying. It's not about the food. It's about it's about having something to stop. How many food will stop you for a minute? Amen. It's about getting something to stop you so you can stop. And you know what? And hang out, you know what, with Caesar and find out what a cool head this guy is. Amen? That's what it's about. You know what I mean? And then exactly. And then you meet Jose and find out what a cool head Jose is. And you don't even know how cool these guys are. But you know what? But we'll get a quesadilla that you can hang out a little together. Amen? And I'm telling you what, it's so, so, so important. I'm getting into my Sunday message right now, but I hear the Holy Spirit saying to do this. Sunday, I just really, really encourage you to Sunday meet somebody that you don't know. Meet somebody that you don't know. It's so critical that they find out who you are and you help connect them to this body. Amen. Okay, so... you know what? The Sabbath is so important. You know what? Coming Sunday and Wednesday. Fellowship is so important. You know what? Connecting with others is so important. You know what? Freely you have received, freely give. There's people all around you, and they don't know Christ. And don't feel intimidated. You know what? Just start to... talk to them about Christ. And understand this. You don't have to, you know, take, in the North Sanctuary, we had one of those big Bibles up front. I wish I had that big Bible right now because I used to like, carrying it. But
You don't have to carry your Bible. You know, oh, let me, you know, go across, you know, knock on the door. Can I talk to you about Jesus? All of a sudden you get some silly voice that you've never, let me talk to you about Jesus.
No. You don't need to do that. But in the course of time, you do need to talk to your neighbor. And you do need to talk to him about Jesus. But maybe it might be a little smarter talking to them about the Lakers first. I'm just saying, you know what? Hey, did you hear Magic Johnson's taking over, you know, at the Lakers now? What do you think about that? And boom, boom, next thing you're talking. And then all of a sudden he finds out what a cool guy you are. And then you just, in the course of time, you know what? I'm getting way, way ahead of myself. But you know what? Imagine this. Imagine that we're going to build this outdoor facility. And imagine that, you know what? That we have a Super Bowl party out there where we're able to, even if it rains, put 280 chairs outdoors, all covered with those, you know, those heaters but those heaters will be built in those in the rafters up high. And we'll just turn them on. We'll be inside, toasty. I mean, I'm telling you what. I can hardly wait to tell you about it. Oh, I already am. Yeah, to show you. Amen. But watch this. But imagine we're talking about that, and then you just so happen to say, oh, you know what? Matter of fact, at my church, we're going to have this radical Super Bowl party. Or maybe even before, because that won't be built. You know what? I'm hoping we'll build it. Start construction this year. I'm hoping. He said, but Pastor, you know what? That's going to cost $300,000 to build. Well, amen. Yeah, amen. We got this, amen. I said, we got this, amen. All I'm saying is, as you're talking to him about the Lakers, trust me. From the heart, the mouth speaks. And in a course of time, trust me. As God is big inside you, trust me. You're gonna go from Magic Johnson you're gonna go from the Savior of the Lakers to the Savior of the world. Yeah. Amen. Amen. So that's really important. That's really important because when that happens, you'll see spiritual growth in your life. You know what? It's important that you come to church. It's important that you fellowship with believers. It's important that you connect with unbelievers. It's important that you pray. That every day you don't start your day without spending some time and saying, God, I need your help. That's humility, and God loves it. But I want to talk to you tonight about the best thing that you can do. Who wants to know the best? Imagine that. Pastor, what are you going to tell me to do? I'm going to tell you the best thing you can do. That's a big thing, is it not? Okay, here's the best thing you can do. Are you ready? Read your Bible every day. The best thing you can do for your spiritual development is read your Bible when? Every day. Read your Bible every day. Please understand this. Listen to me. This is very important. That that reading your Bible every day is the best predictor of spiritual maturity. Reading your Bible every day is the best predictor of spiritual maturity or of spiritual growth. You know what, they did a study, and they found that 56% of Americans believed that the Bible was inspired and inherent word of God. 56% of all Americans. Here was the odd thing, that then they ask, how many read your Bible every day? 56% believed it is the inherent word of God, but only 19% of their Bible, of these people who they surveyed, read their Bible on a regular basis. Man. See, that's
no, no, this, this is really awesome. I just don't read it every day.
And please understand this. Listen to me. Whatever area of your life, wherever area in your life is hurting, is suffering, it is suffering to the degree that you don't know and practice what the Bible is telling you to do in that area. I'm going to let that soak in a little bit, okay? And I'm going to say it again. Whatever area in your life is suffering, hurting, you know what? You're jacked up in that area, whatever area that is to the degree that you are not knowing and applying the Word of God, because the Word of God is sufficient for all, every area in your life. Trust me, every area in your life, God has the answer for. And so, and the problem, all the problem, here's the good news tonight. All the problem is you just got to get the right medicine on the right area. Amen. Ooh, I've got a situation back here. Just get the medicine where the problem is. That's all you have to do. And so tonight, if you have a problem in a certain area, you know what? We've got the answer for you. You know what the answer is? The Word of God. And I guarantee you, if you will read your Bible every day in the course of time, it won't even take very long. It won't even take very long. And you'll go, oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. That's what I needed. Let me just ask you, have you ever come to church? I don't know. You know, I'm not doing a survey out there on Saturday. You know what? Have I called anybody on Saturday and say, hey, well, you know what? I need to know your problem because I need to preach about it tomorrow. Have I called anybody? Has anybody got that survey call? But let me ask you this. How many times have I been preaching the Word of God? And the very thing that I said, you're like, oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. That's the answer. I'm looking for hands. Who can testify and say, look, all over the room. You know what? I didn't even know what was going on. You know what? Had people say, man, Pastor, you were looking right at me. You know what I mean? Looking at you. I don't even know you. Actually, I know you. But you know what I'm saying? I'm not looking at you. It just feels like I'm looking at you. Right? What's that? That's God. And he'll do the same thing. But here's why that's better. Here's why this is better. Because it's better because you don't have to wait till Sunday and Wednesday. Listen, Sunday and Wednesday is absolutely critical. The preaching of the word, you know what, is awesome. You know what? How beautiful the feet are of those who are preaching the word of God. If you look at my feet, I got the most beautiful feet. I don't even get my feet, what do they call that? I don't even get pedicures, but my feet are beautiful. Amen? But God can speak to you every day. But you've got to put the Word of God in. You've got to understand. It's so, so, so important. See, remember when Jesus tells that story, he says, there's two houses. And here's the thing. There's two houses. Those houses look the same. And it's sunny, and you're looking at, you know what, this guy's house over here, and it looks just like this guy's house over here. And you're thinking, man, look. How many know there's people, and you see them at work, and they seem fine, you know what I mean? They seem confident, and you know what, and they have, you know what, nice shoes on, and they have their hair combed or their hair shaved real nice, and they're looking stylish, you know what I mean? And you're thinking, man, they get it all together. But can I tell you what? Those houses look the same, but those houses are not the same. Because one person built their house on the Word of God, the rock. And the other person built their house on sand. And this house went up quicker, and this house took a little while. And they look the same. But the Bible says the storm is going to come. And when the storm comes, how many know the house isn't the same? Can I tell you what? I love each and every one of you. But Jesus said the storm's going to come. Oh, Pastor, the storm's going to come. The storm's going to come. Hey, who cares? See, here's why. Because when you're reading the Bible every day and the storm comes, you're going to be sitting inside under the fire drinking some hot chocolate, and you're going to hear it go. And then you hear the rain. And you're going to be dry and safe. And these things, listen, they come into our lives. But if you'll spend the time to read the Bible every day, when that storm comes, you're going to be fine. And here's what's going to happen. The storm's going to come over you. The storm's going to go. And I'm not trying to be negative. I'm just telling you what the Bible says. But if you don't, and it's important to tell you if you don't, because your life, you got stuff going on. And let me tell you, and you have to prioritize this. You have to put, that's what this whole thing is saying. It's the most important thing you do. You've got to put it higher on your list. Because if you don't, the storm's going to come. But here's what's going to happen. It's going to crash, and it's going to beat on your house, and your house is going to fall. And the Bible says, and you know what? And great is the fall. And you know people like that. They looked okay. They seemed okay. Listen to me. They were even people who went to church. There were even people who were going to church. But if you looked in their life, if you tiptoed through their tulips and looked in their house, you know what? There's water. You can't look in their house because it's crashed. But if you looked in their house, here's what you'd find. You'd find, you know what, that they were too busy. And sometimes, can I be honest with you? It's not because you're too busy. It's because you haven't prioritized. Can we go a little deeper? No, let think about that first before you say yes. Because I'm about to get a little touchy here. Can we go a little deeper? Okay. A lot of times, it's not about you don't have time. It's about you picked up the clicker too fast. While the Bible's on the shelf. And listen, and we've all done it, and it's easy to do. I just want to bring the good news to you. That we don't have to have houses that storms come and they just knock it down. We can have houses that are strong. Amen. I have it up on the screen. Look at what the Bible says in Deuteronomy 30. Deuteronomy 30, starting with verse 15. See, I've set before you today good life and good, death and evil. You see the contrast? Listen. God's will for your life is that you be significant. He doesn't want you to have a bad life. He wants you to have a good life. Amen. But watch this. It's so important. But he set it before us. See what's happened? It's not my fault. Don't blame me. See what I've done? I've set before you today life and good, death and evil. Next verse. In that I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in his ways and to keep his commandments, his statutes, and his judgments, that you might, why? Live and multiply. See, that's what God wants. That you might live and multiply, and that the Lord your God will bless you in the land which you go to possess. Next verse. But if your heart turns away so that you do not, what? That you do not hear. I don't hear what God's saying. Well, you need to open up the Bible and see what he's saying, because he'll speak to you if you just read it. Here, and draw and are drawn away and worship other gods and serve them. Wait, stay right here. If you're not inclining, watch this. Let me give you a word picture. If you're not inclining your ear, here, let me give you a good word. If you're not inclining your ear to the word, here's what's going to happen. You're going to be pressed, and you're going to be inclined, and the next thing you know, you're going to be, what's the Bible say? Everybody say drawn away. You're going to be drawn away. If you read the Bible every day, it will lag your heart into God's heart. Amen. And you'll fall in love with Jesus Christ. You'll fall in love with his ways. You'll like they say, you know what? You're leaning into the word of God. You're leaning into Jesus. What are you saying? And you'll be drawn away and you'll worship other gods and serve them. We don't, how many know in America, we're not talking about necessarily you worshiping Buddha or worshiping, you know what, Hare Krishna. Because most people don't, most people go to church, they're not drawn away to that. They're just drawn away to the love of money. So, Pastor, I'm not about the love of money. Oh, really? 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 Can we see on Sunday and Wednesday? Oh, wait a minute, Pastor. It's not about that. Is it not about that? Is that really what it's not about? Or is that what is exactly what it's about? But you've been drawn away. Is this making sense to anybody? Next verse. I announce to you today that you shall surely perish, and you shall not prolong the days in the land which you cross over the Jordan to go and possess. I'm telling you what, this will not be good to you. How many know God loves you enough to tell you the truth? Look at the next verse. I call heaven and earth as a witness today against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life that you and your descendants, what? Amen. And live. Listen to me. I don't know how many people who go to church and things start going bad in their life, and they, man, I don't know why. You know, God blesses pastor all the time. You know, but God don't bless me. Hey, here. Knock it off. Can I smile again? Knock it off. It's not about that. It's not about, God's not a respecter of persons. You know what it's about? It's about you. That's what God says. I call heaven and earth witness against you today. You know, this blaming, you know what? You know what? What's that song? You know what? You know, I'm going to eat some worms. How does that go? You know, nobody likes me, and something now, I'm, you know, going to eat some worms. Nobody knows that song? You know it? Can you help me out? Yeah, there you go. Nobody likes me. Everybody hates me. See, you didn't even think that was a song, did you? You thought I was delirious up here. No. You know what? Nobody likes me. Everybody hates me. I think I'll eat some worms. No, you don't got to eat some worms. You need to look at yourself and say, look, God is for me, but he has given me what I need. You know what? That I, my life can prosper in every area of my life. But what I've got to do is I've got to listen to him. Listen, I call heaven and earth as witness against you today. What I've done is I've set before you death and life, blessing and cursing. Therefore, here's what I want you to do. Hey, here, let's do this. Let's choose life. Let's say, you know what? Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to read the word of God. Amen. I'm going to read the word of God every day. Can somebody commit to reading the Bible every day? I'm asking, can somebody commit to, you know what? I don't want to have a bad life. And what I love about this, watch, that both you and your descendants, can I tell you what? This is not just about you. You are setting a course. You're setting a plan for you and your kids. You know, you can help your kids by just, you know what, saying, let me tell you what me and mama are going to do. Me and mama are going to read the Bible. And what is that? Every day. And it sets this course for your kids. What a blessing. What an ability to do. You want to help your kids? Make sure you're reading your Bible every day. Amen. Number one, you know what? Please, please, please understand this. You need to read your Bible every day. Here's why. Because your life depends upon it. This isn't a little thing. This is huge. This is the most important thing that you do. Amen. Deuteronomy chapter 29. Look at verses 19 and 20. Look at verse 19 and 20. And so it may not happen. Listen, when he hears the words of this curse, and he blesses himself in his heart, saying, follow me. He hears what the Bible says, but then he just says this, I shall have peace, even though I follow the dictates of my heart. I know what God says, but I won't do that anyway. I just say, well, you know what? That's how I roll. You know what I mean? Can I be honest with somebody today? We have such a perverse gospel where we presume the grace of Jesus Christ. Can I tell you what? God's grace doesn't mean that you can just ignore what he says and still everything's going to be okay. That's not what the grace of God is for. And the Bible is very clear. And so God's speaking to your heart, but here's what you say. You know what I mean? But let me tell you, let me tell you how I roll. Remember what we taught? You know what? There's one lawgiver. God is the one who has the word of God. You and I don't know. He knows. So what we need to do is we need to say, I'm going to do what he says to do. And how are you going to know what he says to do unless you're reading the Bible? And let me just take a side note for all those who have ever said, you know, all eyes up here, the Bible's so hard to understand. I'll show it to you in a minute. No, it's not. Anything's hard to understand that you never read. Okay, now somebody say amen to that. Of course. But can I tell you what? That's a bunch of baloney. That's just smoke, man. Blow the smoke out so that you can clearly see her. As you see, you know what? Remember when you used to tell your mom a bunch of, let me tell you what's going on. I wasn't, you know, but it was my, you know, I wasn't doing that, but what happened is Johnny pushed me, man. It was his fault. You know what? And your mom was like, I know what's going on. Amen. Can I tell you what? God knows what's going on. And you can come up with all the excuses in the word. God says, no, you know what? I've told you this, but you said, saying, I shall have peace even though I follow the dictates of my heart. Listen, no, you won't. And though the drunk could be included with the sober, God doesn't put everybody together. Amen. Next verse, look at this. The Lord will not spare him, for then the anger of the Lord and his jealousy would burn against that man, and every curse that is written in the book would settle on him, and the Lord would blot out his name from under heaven. Hey, listen, how many know this is part of the word of God? And just before you get all mad at God and say that he doesn't love people, can I make this point? Look at what it says. His name is already written in the Lamb's Book of Life. You know everybody's name originally is written in the Lamb's Book of Life? Because let me tell you what, God loves every single person. But these people who say, I don't care what God says, it don't make any difference. I'm gonna do whatever I want to do. Listen. Don't be deceived. Don't think that you can do whatever you want, and you know what, and there's not consequences for your action. Amen. Amen. God loves you enough to tell you in advance. Okay. Please, please, please understand that it's important to read the Bible. Why? Because your life depends on it. Number two, you know, read the Bible because God has not hidden what he wants us to know. People think, oh, we can't know the will of God. What are you talking about? You can't know the will of God. The Bible says, look at guys in the back, turn with me there. It's not in your notes, but guys in the back, turn with me. No, look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And look at verse 9. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. See, we can't know, brother. Eye hasn't seen, nor ear heard, man. We just don't know the deep things of God. Hey, can you keep on reading? Amen. Look what it says. But God has or has not? God has revealed them to us through what? God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. Okay, now follow me. What did Jesus say? My words are spirit and they are life. What's God saying? God's saying, listen, let me tell you what. I'm not trying to keep the truth from you. I've revealed it to you. It's right here. All you have to do is be disciplined to pick up the Bible and read it. I've revealed it to you. You need to read your Bible every day because, listen, the answer to your problem is right here. Just like sometimes you come to church and I'll preach the word of God and you'll think, oh my goodness, that's the answer. Well, that's good for Sunday and Wednesday, but how many know we need this every day? I'm just asking, is it, you know, how many of y'all eat every Sunday and every Wednesday and that's the only days you eat? Oh, that was a good illustration, wasn't it? Somebody was like, "Oh, wait a minute, Pastor." Well, how many know? How many appreciate this church because the Word of God's taught here? How many appreciate that? That's a good thing, is it not? Amen. But how many know God wants you? Amen. How many like to be fed? Come on, how many like to be fed? Can I tell you? I love to feed you, but can I tell you what? I'm smiling. Am I smiling? Am I smiling? But let me tell you what. We all need to feed ourselves also. Amen? There's a picture there was a man and he was in a service, big evangelistic service. And he was sitting on the front row. And sitting on the front row, all of a sudden he had a vision. And here's what he saw. As the people were walking around, they were all anorexic in their bodies. But their heads were all huge. And he's sitting there and he's saying, God, what are you showing me right now? And God said, here's what I'm showing you. I'm showing you the condition of the church. Their bodies are anorexic, but their minds are huge. And it's that way because here's what's happening. They just hear the word of God and hear the word of God and hear the word of God and hear the word of God, but there's nobody doing the things that I've told them to do. And so they all have big heads, but they're all malnourished in their body. Can I tell you what will happen? For most of you who will decide to read the Bible every day, there will be this understanding of not just knowing, but you'll fall in love with Jesus. And when you fall in love with Jesus, you will start to do what he tells you to do. I love, and please get this. Understand the picture that we have. The apostles, and Jesus goes, and he's walking, and he's inspiring, and he says, "Hey guys, you know what? Follow me." And the Bible says they leave their nets, and they immediately follow Jesus. And then he walks a little farther, and he sees some other men, and he says, "Follow me." And they leave their father, and they leave their boats, and they follow Jesus. Can I tell you what? You want to be inspired? You start reading your Bible every day, and here's what's going to happen. Jesus Christ will minister to you. And it won't be about just knowing the Word of God, but you will fall in love with Jesus, and you will start to do the Word of God. My last point, and I'll finish up with this, is this. Listen to me. We cannot just read the Bible, but we must encounter the Jesus that is in the Bible. It's not about just reading stuff. It's not about just getting information. Can I tell you what? This is Jesus. He is the Word. And what will happen as you read the Bible, you'll fall in love with the person of Jesus Christ. And when you fall in love, can I tell you what? This is not about a bunch of, listen, if you think this is about a bunch of do's and don'ts, you don't understand the Bible. Look at what it says in Deuteronomy 30. Look up on the screen. Verse 30, chapter 30, verse 19. Look at this. This is so good. "I call heaven and earth as witness against you today that you have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life that you and your descendants might live." Look at this next verse. Verse 20. Look at how it changes. "That you might love the Lord your God. That you might obey," what? Everybody say, "His voice." His, see, this is not just words. This is not somebody just saying, "Hey, do this and do that and you better." No, that's not about that. Here's what this is about. And here's what's going to happen as you read the Bible every day. Here's what's going to happen. You're going to fall in love with Jesus. You're going to learn that Jesus is your shepherd. And you're going to learn that your shepherd loves you with all his heart. And so it's not like, do this and do this. It's not about that. Here's what it's about. It's about, hey, I love you guys. Come on over here because I'm going to show you some grass over here that's green. No, you don't. Hey, listen, you don't have to eat that dirty, ugly, rotted grass over there. You don't have to go exactly be around in the mud, in the dirt, and try to find some. No. I know. You're over here in this mess, and you're reading where the Bible says, you know what, forgive. And you're thinking, I can't forgive. I can't forgive. It's hard to forgive. But you fall in love with Jesus, and you find out, listen to me, that Jesus, his commandments are not burdensome. And you listen to the Word of God, or you come and listen to the preaching of God, and you find out, listen, the only one who you help, the only one who you're hurting when you don't forgive is yourself. And you understand, God's not like, man, you gotta forgive. God's not, he's not like that. Here's what he is. Listen, I love you. And your unforgiveness is hurting you. I know what that person did to you. I know what he did to you. I know what she did to you. I know that. Don't worry about that. Just focus on me. Just act like I did. Forgive them. Even though part of you are like, I can't. No. You can do all things through me. So come here. Let me lead you. and he's going to lead you to this green grass, and it's peaceful, and you're going to sit down in that green grass, and then there's going to be a brook, but that brook is going to be real. He's going to lead you where the place where the brook isn't rushing, where there's some rocks up here, and it causes the brook to slow down. And that's exactly where he knows. And you're going to drink, and you're going to start to go, oh, my God, wait, I get it. God's not telling me what to do because he doesn't love me. He's telling me what to do because he does love me. Amen. See, here's what I'm saying. You have to fall. Don't just read it, but you have to read it and start looking for Jesus, because you'll find him in those pages. And when you find him in those pages, you won't find a tyrant. You won't find a bully. You'll find the most person, the most person. You'll find the most loving and caring and tender person that you've ever found. And all that he tells you to do is only for your blessing. The most important thing that you can do is read your Bible. And it's not about, you don't read your Bible, you're all going to hell. Listen, it is so not that. It's, hey, listen. In the areas in your life, you don't have to suffer, because God knows how to fix those areas. But you need to learn his ways. And I not only want to set your life straight, but I want to set your life up that your kids see what you're doing. Because you all know your kids won't do what you tell them. But they'll do what you show them. They will do what you show them. They'll do what you model. For sure they will. So read your Bible for your marriage. Read your Bible, you know what, for your finances. Read your Bible for your health. Read your Bible for your relationships. Read your Bible for every area in your life. And read your Bible for your kids. And you're going to fall in love with the person who will show you every area in your life that you need to see. How am I glad you came today?